Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. I'm Bob DeMarco. On this edition of the show, I'm speaking with Josh Bellet, also known as the YouTuber Jimmy Slash. Josh is a kindred spirit in that his appetite for knives is insatiable. He has a special place in his heart for big knives, and he's a dyed-in-the-wool cold steel fanboy, like yours truly. But for him, it runs a bit deeper. But aside from his taste in cutlery, it's Josh's warm, generous, funny, and slightly deviant sense of humor that has me coming back to his videos. At this point, he could be reviewing teacups and making videos about unicorns, and I'd tune in. It's always a pleasure to catch up with Jimmy Slash. But these days are particularly exciting for him, and I can't wait to get into it. But before we do, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and download the show to your favorite podcast app. That way, you can listen on the go. And as always, if you want to help support the show, you can do so at Patreon. Quickest way to get there is to head over to thenifejunkie.com/Patreon. Again, that's thenifejunkie.com/Patreon.
If you're a knife junkie, you're always in the market for a new knife, and we've got you covered. For the latest weekly knife deals, be sure to visit thenifejunkie.com/knives. Through our special affiliate relationships, we bring you weekly knife specials on your favorite knives. Help support the show and save money on a new knife. Shop at thenifejunkie.com/knives. That's thenifejunkie.com/knives.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Hey, Josh, welcome back. It's good to see you, sir.
Good to see you. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I've been really loving your shorts on YouTube lately, your short videos. You had the rifle hawk, or not the rifle hawk, the war club, the rifle war club, rifle stock war club from Cold Steel recently, obliterating some fruit. You had the new Arkansas toothpick. It looks like you're having a blast out there, man.
Oh, yeah. Totally fun. You know, no reason to do it if it's not fun. So, yeah, the Gunstock War Club, that's a blast. I love playing with that thing.
So, I've been on a, I don't want to say a War Club phase. It's not quite a phase, but I was reunited with a War Club that I had as a kid, that the family shared as a kid, and I kind of got it over Thanksgiving. And then I purchased a WinGuard wearable war club. I've been in the war club mode. How is it that Cold Steel war club being out of polypropylene instead of wood?
You know, I beat that thing against that log I have, and I whacked that thing into some hard stuff, and it doesn't chip. It stands up to a really good beating. At least anything I can put through it. It's pretty strong.
Yeah, man. So I have no doubt, I guess, with the training implements I've had, made out of that stuff, that it's pretty strong stuff. And if I know Cold Steel, and my shower knife made out of that same material, it can withstand quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff.
All right. So for people who don't know you, or maybe haven't seen the last one, last time you joined us, it was a town hall, I believe. But how did you get into knives and making knife review videos?
I've always, you know, liked knives as a kid. My dad gave me a Buck 112, I think it was, when I was about 7, 8 years old. That was my first really serious knife. And, you know, it was kind of an outdoorsy kid. I always had a knife on me. And then as I got older, I'd buy some knives here and there. And then about 7, 8 years ago, I went looking for a Christmas present for my uncle. And I ended up getting him a Benchmade 940. But through the whole process of just looking at reviews and looking at knives, the bug really bit me. So I guess, yeah, it was about seven and a half years ago. And I guess 7 years ago, because it's December now. And it just bit me. So I got a bad fever, and then I started getting more into reviews. And I started watching, of course, the grandfather of it all. It was nothing fancy. But then I got into Birdshot and them, and it kind of showed me it was kind of fun to do. And it just gave me a way to talk to people and talk to people about knives. And so I know my first Cold review was a Cold Steel knife. So it just went from there. It was a lot of fun and a lot of interesting people right off the get-go. Just fell in love with it.
I found you on a large Cold Steel folder tear. You know, I go through these little phases where I'm just really into something and I collect it intensely for a short period of time. And I was going all out on the XL Cold Steels. I have quite a collection. We've discussed that before. But I was really looking for one of these, which is my most coveted knife in my collection, by the way. More people asked for me to sell my XL XHP Recon 1. But that's what I was looking to try and find. And I was just hungry. You know how when you're looking for something and you're just hungry for videos on it? And a lot of the kind of knives you and I like, there's more of a limited pool. And you had the stuff I was looking for. And ever since then, I've been a fan.
Oh, yeah. You go in there and you're looking for, first you're looking for justification to buy it. And then you're looking for verification that you did the right thing. So, yeah. And on the huge knives, sometimes it's hard to find that. But yeah.
Yeah. Do you find yourself, before it even arrives, kind of looking to, at the next thing?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I got stuff on the way right now and I've been looking for stuff, you know, tonight. So, yeah, I'm always looking for something to look at or share or review or gifts, giveaways, and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm always looking. I got probably $5,000 in knives in carts all around the internet. So,
oh, yeah, just waiting. Just waiting.
Yeah.
Pick me.
Just waiting for that mood change or whatever I need. So.
Or that, you know what? This is a good reason, another good reason for my stopping drinking. You know, the late night, I'll just do this now and you know,
exactly.
I'll never remember tomorrow and it'll show up as a surprise. And what am I going to do then? Return it? Come on.
That's right.
So you sent me this knife, a while back. This is, I had explained, you asked if I had a 4-Max Scout and I said no. And you insisted and you sent this and I made the same sort of fob that you put on yours to commemorate the gift. I do appreciate this. How is it that you fell into love with Cold Steel? For me, it happened way back in high school. How did it happen for you?
For me, it was right around that time I started doing reviews, probably about 3 or 4 months beforehand. And I got to looking at knives on Craigslist, oddly enough. And so this guy was selling a bunch of knives. I went online and looked, and it was crazy good deal. And so it was kind of, you know, that was Craigslist feeling it, kind of a shady deal in a parking lot somewhere under a, you know, one stoplight or a dimly lit lamp or something. So I went out there, and so it was supposed to be just for the American Lawman. And so I went out there and I, of course, did my review or looked at my reviews on those and looked good. So I went out and got it. And he said, well, I got these other knives too. One of the knives he pulled out was the XL Recon that you just showed me. And then he had another XL, and I think it may have been 2 XL Recons. I think one he'd taken the DLC off of, and then one was still black. And so he sold me those. And as soon as I got those things, I was hooked. It was just, you know, like a heroin addiction. Just bam. I knew that was going to be part of my life for a long time. And then I started doing the research, and then the next thing I knew, I was looking at, because the 4-Max, the American 4-Max, had just come out, I think that May of 2016. And so that first run had already sold out. So I was punching refresh almost daily, trying to see when they'd come out again. And they came out that second run, and that was it. You know, I love that knife ever since.
Oh, yeah. That thing. I mean, this thing here is awesome. And I have it in Grivery and Aus 10A. And it's funny because this is the walk around version of this. They come in so many different models. I mean, not models, but so many different what do you call it? Generations of production generations, I guess I should say. And I know you have them all. You have a very extensive collection. I know of knives in general, but Cold Steel seems to be the real body here.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I probably have 600 knives altogether, maybe something like that. Probably more. I haven't counted since last year, so I've gotten a bunch this year, but at least 2/3 of that is Cold Steel, for sure.
So, what is it What is it about Cold Steel? Is it the fact that they're so strong? Is it the fact that they're, what is it?
It's the strength. You know, I've always enjoyed strength, working out, whatever, you know, muscle building and stuff like that. And just the idea that you can't kill these things. And it's just such a strong knife. I like flippy knives and I like, you know, really pretty knives and I like all those too. But just when it comes down to it, cold steel makes such a strong, indestructible knife. And I like that a lot. I like the idea that it's never going to break on me.
That combined with the audacity of making all of these historical designs, for instance, take the Espada series, you know, the traditional Spanish Navaja folder and making, you know, which is one of my favorite all time historical weapons, and turning it into a modern day, fully more than capable, actually usable weapon instead of a reproduction kind of thing, wall right. hanger. Is to me, that's what I love them for, is just the fact that they are the only ones out there making A, these big knives, these big folders, but also B, just a huge range of historic, like really well made, combat ready historical weapons.
Oh, certainly, yeah. It's not something that you're going to get at a flea market that's going to snap when you try to use it on something. That was another thing that got me really sold on. Not just cold steel, but the knife bug when I was talking about looking at reviews was getting into the cold steel, watching Lynn Thompson and Demko and all the guys over there cold steel slicing the things and chop through things. And yeah, that was just, to me, it was just fantastic. And that was part of the bug, is watching them destroy stuff with their knife.
Is that what got you into blade sports? Anyone who has followed your channel knows that you are involved in plenty of other things outside of the knife world. And that adds to the interesting dimensions to your character. One of those things is blade sports. So you test knives for your channel in various ways. You've got the hardcore chopping kind of stuff. And then you've got the brisket tests, which I love. But did doing all of that lead to actually wanting to make this activity more official through competition?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. What happened was I bought a chopper first, and I just wanted to be able to use it. I think it was a big Chris chopper, and I went to the school to get certified to go through the blade sports. Yeah, but in fact, one time I was testing a knife, and I don't think it was a Topps chopper, one of the Topps knives, and somebody commented that, and you know how people are, but they're like, you don't know how to chop or flip. And so I was like, well, I'm going to go learn how to chop worth a flip. And so, yeah, I just got the bug and went out there and the people are awesome and, you know, and competing is fun. And so, yeah, I love it.
What was the training like?
They'd have like a all day, like a 6-8 hour class where you go through and they show you each of the implements. They show you the safety rules and they give you practice on the different things. And then they do a mock competition at the end. So you kind of get an idea what you're going to be doing. So it's really helpful.
If you haven't seen one of these competitions, what are the kinds of things you're doing? Is it like that show? What was the Forged in Fire spinoff? Knife or Death?
Oh, yeah. Something like that. It was just they started the competitions as a way to show off what their knives could do. And initially, from what I understand, it started off as like, I made this knife and I bet I can cut through this faster than you. And so they made it kind of official competition and they go through 2x4s, you cut through 2x4s, you cut through the big 3 different sizes of ropes. And then it comes down to, you know, like small testing, like bendy straws, you know, they got a bendy straw and then you got to cut the straw off before at the top of the bend. So you're trying to, you know, you're looking at strength, you're looking at finesse, and you're looking at how sharp your knives are. And at the end of the competition, if, you know, your knife is all beat up and chipped, and then you're disqualified for that too. So it's just a way to show off what these knives can do, not just as weapons, but as tools. And that's what they really emphasize, is the tool issue of what a knife can do.
What's the hardest test?
For me, I think the one that people fail the most on are the straws. I mean, it's easy to go crazy on a 2x4 and that gets tiring, especially if your knife, you know, that second, you start with the 2x4 and you end with the 2x4. By the time you're done, that last 2x4, you know, tests your willpower. But I think the thing that most people fail on is the straws. You see these guys that are world champions swinging and missing at the straws all the time. So, yeah, the toughest one.
I would imagine to get that and to make it cut cleanly through the straw north of the bendy part, you would have to, A, have a very, very sharp knife still. Something thin enough behind the edge that you could actually make that cut. But you have to be swinging with a lot of precision and speed, it seems like, to get through something like that.
Yeah, it's the precision and that whip. You got to get that whip on that. You know, you got a pound and a half of steel, and you're trying to whip it, you know, like a 6-ounce knife or something. So you get that, like you said, if it was just the whole straw, yeah, everybody would get it. But to get that, what is like an inch and a quarter above that bend, and just, you got to whip it, and there's no going up and tippy-tapping it. So it's all that together. I think that's what that tests people most.
So what are the qualities you're looking for in a knife that you're going to take into a competition? I know they all look squared off. They look kind of vaguely like elongated cleavers. But right. What exactly are you looking for in a competition chopper?
Well, first off, you want a steel that's going to hold up through the whole competition. You know, you can make a chopper that looks like a chopper, but like I said, if it bangs up and at the end of the competition it's not working, or if you get to a 2x4 and you go through a rope and then you go through the, you know, they have the vertical 2x4, and if by the time you're done you can't cut anything, then, you know, your chopper's pretty much worthless for competition. So you want something that's really hard. A lot of the popular steels are 3V. M4, I think there's some of the guys are making them out of Maximet now. So you're looking at something that's going to hold up, and you want something that's balanced, and you want something that the handle is right for your hand, especially in the custom chopper. So yeah, just those things right there are going to get you. And of course, you have to make them within the parameters of the competition. The blade can't be more than 10 inches. It can't be more than 15 inches overall. And it can't be the thickness, the width can't be more than 2 inches. Hmm. And there's some little bitty things besides that, but those are the main ones.
I've noticed how on some of the competition choppers, there's an angle, the handle to the blade is raked down a little bit.
Right.
Almost like a straight bladed kukri, you know, not that extreme, but in order to really maximize the angles.
Well, you get the big guys. You got guys like Donovan Phillips and, you know, Big Chris, and these guys that are 6'6" and 6'7". You know, they don't need that angle. If you got a guy my height, you know, 5'8", I need as much angle as possible so that, you know, my blade's coming down straight instead of, you know, hitting like this on the different implements. So yeah, a little angle helps. You see a lot of the females, because of their size, they have really exaggerated angles on their choppers as well.
I'm a bit of a, I'm a sharp guy, and, I follow you on Instagram, and I noticed, something that seems really exciting, but that there hasn't been any official word, I don't think, but what is happening with a collaboration with Cold Steel and Jimmy Slash?
Okay, this spring is, they're coming out with the Jimmy Slash competition chopper, and I'm not sure exactly what the date is. It's been told this spring, and it's something we've been working on for over a year now, trying to get this thing nailed down. In fact, we're still working on it and getting it to where, you know, because, you know, it's not just made for my hand. You know, we're trying to get a broad spectrum of people that are going to enjoy this. So it's a little bit more difficult than just making one competition chopper. So yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's going to be fun.
Well, so what's it been like? What's the process been like working with them specifically? I know you've been working with them a lot recently, and I want to hear about that, but I'm also very interested in this design process, what it was like working with a company that, you know, I don't know, to say you adore them sounds weird, but, you know, a company that you...
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. No, it all started at Blade Show 2021. And I was, you know, when I worked the booth over with them the first time, you know, it's been a pipe dream of mine since I started this. You know, it's always, every once in a while, sneaking a joke or one of the subs will say, when's your knife coming out? And, you know, so it's always been something that never really seemed like it was going to happen. You know, just something that was fun to talk about and fun to dream about. And then I mentioned it to them in 2021 about it. And actually, Donovan Phillips came over and talked to them about it and, you know, kind of what it would take. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you get these people like, oh, yeah, that's what we want to do. Yeah, we should do that. And then, you know, it's crickets and you never hear from them again. But that's not the way it was. It ended up, they were like, yeah, let's do this. And so I just kind of sent them my ideas on what I wanted. And then they sent me a prototype. And I said, well, this isn't exactly what I want. Just, you know, keep working on it. And so they sent me another one. I'm like, man, you know, that's great. This improved this. Can we fix this? And it's just been a year of back and forth and constant contact and testing. My shoulder, I've tested so many different choppers and chopping. My shoulder's about dead for anything right now. So, but it's been awesome. The whole process has been awesome.
What were some of the things from the first prototypes? Because they've never made a competition chopper. They've made a lot of great knives, and a lot of them are chopping centric, but never anything like this. So what were some of the things that you noticed that you thought needed to change?
Okay, yeah, the first prototype came, and it was a really cool knife. And if it had just been like a standalone knife, a cold steel standalone chopper, I'd have bought, you know, 5 or 6 of them. But it wasn't what I was looking for as far as a competition chopper. First off, the length was a little bit too long, and they're real sticklers about that. So if it's a quarter inch too long, they're not. You're going to drive across country with your quarter inch too long, and they're not going to let you chop with it. And so it was a little bit too long, it was a little bit too wide, and it was really light compared to what I'm used to. It was almost like a female chopper. I think it was in the 20-ounce range, so it was a little bit too light. I think the one we're coming out with is almost 27 ounces. But it was a cool knife. It was a great knife, but it just wasn't what I was looking for. And the handle wasn't what I was looking for. I wanted more of an angle on the handle. And so it was just like a starting place. It's almost like sending a blank in and saying, here's this, what can we change? And at that point, it just started changing and molding into, you know, what it is right now.
So the handles on the competition choppers seem to be really ergonomic. They remind me almost of like Becker handles. It seems like in that sport and in that with that kind of knife, comfort ergonomics is kind of paramount. How much shock do you feel in the hand? I mean, you're holding a piece of metal, whacking it into wood. How much shock do you feel in the hand? What kind of things can be done to mitigate that shock in these designs?
Well, yeah, a lot of it's going to be balance. So if you got and weight. So if you got not enough weight, it's just going to be bouncing off, and of course edge. But when you're coming down, you want that thing just to come down and sink into that wood or sink into whatever you're chopping into. And so, but if the balance is off, then you're going to be coming down too hard, or you're going to be really feeling it. So you want that balance point, but everything is just momentum, just coming down. And you're not going to feel a lot in the wrist. And I know it sounds crazy, but I got into the competitive arm wrestling about 6 months before I got into chopping. And the weird tendons and stuff that the arm wrestling did, chopping doesn't bother me unless I do it excessively like I've been doing, trying to test this thing. So the competitions don't really bother me that bad. But if you're trying to, like you said, mitigate it for the average person, yeah, it's just going to be the balance point. It's going to be the handle. Like a handle that's straight for me, I'm going to be coming down, trying to come down like that to get that blade straight. So that's going to put a different impact on me than if it was an angled one.
Right, right. And it's going to force your wrist into an unnatural position. And after a while, you'll have all sorts of repetitive stress, injury, and stuff like that. So what kind of edge? I'm imagining the profile of a competition chopper as being somewhat triangular, somewhat wedge-like. You'd be strong enough to take all this impact. But what is it, an apple seed edge or like a convex edge?
A lot of them have convex edges. I know that Donovan puts a convex edge on his. A couple guys just put the regular edge on there. And They have a good heat treat on their blades. I think we're going to be going with the convex edge. I think it's a 23-degree convex edge. And so, yeah, it worked. The edge worked out well for this last competition. I was able to do the slicing stuff pretty easily. So.
I've only seen Cold Steel do a convex edge once, and it was on, I think it was an older model Sanmai Trailmaster. They did an Appleseed Edge on their most expensive steel version of it some years back. I do remember a convex grind, but so that's exciting to hear because that's not something that they generally do.
No, yeah, they don't do a lot of it, and yeah, from what I've seen from the testing I've done for this steel, that's gonna be the most durable thing. I banged into this edge that's on here, and I haven't had any issues with it.
And what steel is it?
It's a 3V. CPM 3V steel.
Okay, so Cold Steel has been on a 3V kick lately. It's exciting to see. Yeah. It's exciting for two reasons. One reason is that 3V is an awesome steel, and it's great to see some of their big, burly knives in 3V. But also, in coming out with 3V and those being pretty handsomely priced knives, they felt it necessary to come out with the 4034 versions of those, which I'm very happy for because it kind of allowed me to get a Natchez Bowie, which I've wanted for years, but I was not going to buy the 3V version because I don't need 3V for this. Because this is only for dueling, Josh. I'm not going to be taking this out to the woods.
That's right.
So the cable tang will suffice.
There you go, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love the 4034 stuff they did. I've beat up that 4034 stuff just as much, if not more than I beat on my. You feel it seems odd because the 4034 shouldn't take as much as a 3V, so I should feel better about taking my 3V out. But like you said, they get kind of pricey, and so you don't want to go and beat on them too much. Yeah. So, but the 4034, I haven't had any issues with it holding up to chopping and smashing. It's really good, really good steel. That 4034 Kukri, you know, for all the average person's purposes is going to hold up just as good as that 3D one.
I'm starting to feel Blade Steel's like 3D and Maximet and M4 are outstanding, amazing, you know, stellar Blade Steels. But there are some, oh my God, look at that arm. But there are some Blade Steels also that like, 3CR 13. I recently needed a fix, and I got the Black Mule Bowie from Rough Rider, and I've beaten the living daylights out of it, and it is still sharp and still super strong. And I know that Cold Steel, the knives that they have been selling packaged as outdoor knives that they've been selling at Walmart are in 3CR, and you did a whole series on those knives. So it just kind of goes to show you that, yeah, those amazing super steels are amazing and super, but some of the unsuper steels are still pretty damn super.
Oh yeah. I think we've, as knife fans and, you know, knife review, addicts or whatever we watch, we get, biased and we get brainwashed that, you know, anything, you know, for a while, the S35VN was, oh my gosh, it's amazing. And now everybody's like, why would you make a knife in S35VN? And so, but yeah, what happened was that another reviewer had posted something about the Walmart knives from Cold Steel, and I hadn't seen them yet. So I was like, oh man, I got to get on top of this. You know, I want to see what's going to happen because they hadn't reviewed it. They'd just taken a picture and showed that there was Cold Steel was selling at Walmart. And
that was Matthew Culbertson. He was
Matt Culbertson. Yeah,
yeah. He was like shocked and bummed. And he's a super, super Cold Steel fan.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great dude. But he's arm wrestler too. So,
yeah. Oh, is he? Yeah, he's a big dude.
So that was one of my fears when GSM took over. You know, if you go back and look at one of my videos, I'm like, man, they're gonna start selling blister packs at Walmart. And so, sure enough, blister packs at Walmart showed up, and so I ordered it right away, got it in, and I got it out of the pack, and it, to be honest, it felt kind of flimsy. I was like, man, I'm going to do a review on this. Cold Steel's going to kicked me out of Cold Steel, and you know, and so I took a beat. I beat that thing. And I went through 2x4s, and just, and it didn't roll the edge. It didn't do anything. All that was on one knife, and I didn't sharpen it. I don't think I stropped it or anything. And that thing just kept taking it and taking it. It didn't break. It didn't chip. It didn't roll. And like you said, the 3CR held up. And I think everybody wants 3V. Everybody wants something in max and met. Everybody wants something that's high end like that in 390, you know, 20 CV or whatever. And that's cool. And I understand that. I have so many knives like that. Yeah, I understand that. But for actual use, I would take that thing out in the woods and not be afraid to take it out in the woods as my only knife, because it took a beating. I think the people that still, you know, poo-poo on it are the ones that haven't really tried it, or the ones that are just going to be negative about anything you put out there.
Well, I for one, was really happy to see your video, because I saw Culbertson's video first, and then a few days later, or a week, or whatever, I saw yours. And I totally related to him. And then when you came on, I was like, okay, all right, let's cross our fingers, because I'm rooting for them. And you know, that GSM sale, my personal thoughts, you know, were like, geez, these guys have been my favorite forever. And a lot of it has to do with Lynn Thompson. Like, pretty much all of it has to do with Lynn Thompson, and that which doesn't has to do with Andrew Demko. So
yeah.
I hope this whole thing works out. And so far, you know, I thought it was a good idea to ask, what models would you like us to bring back? They brought back the Talwar, which I appreciated. Still need to get that. Still need to get the Talwar. I want to get it serrated. They did not listen to me and bring back the Black Rhino, unfortunately.
Oh, I told them the same thing. Yeah, I want the Black Rhino back.
Oh, God. I love that knife. But so far, I've been pretty psyched. You know, I've gotten a number of Cold Steels. I got a Taipan recently. Finally, that's a knife I've wanted for 25 years. And I don't know why it's come in and out of my price range for many times, and I finally bought it. So I think that so far they've handled, it seems to me from the videos that Stickman really likes the whole Cold Steel thing and really likes knives. So I think a lot of attention is going to it as a brand.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people were afraid, and I was afraid too, it was going to go the way of kind of like Gerber, and the way that they've just become a more of a budget brand all around. And like I told everybody, go out and buy your Cold Steel now, because you don't know what's going to happen. Probably started a panic run, probably was responsible for Cold Steel stock going through the roof. But yeah, Stickman has leaned into the Lynn Thompson spirit. He's really leaned into, you know, spending money on the gel dummies and chopping things and smashing things. And he's been out there to cut with Lynn Thompson. They've kept Lynn Thompson in the mix as far as videos and different things. And I wish I could tell people, you know, with the things I know that are coming up and all the people that are, you know, negative or people that think that it's dead, it's not. There's so much exciting stuff that Cold Steel's is going to do. And the guys that are in charge really want Cold Steel, the Cold Steel brand and spirit, to just keep going.
Well, it's smart business. I mean, why mess with something that was so successful for so long? You know, those proof videos that came out every year. Oh, man, that was so exciting. I loved getting those DVDs. And I mean, that all of those, I believe, kind of gave permission to shows like Forged in Fire to do those sort of pig tests and the destructive tests and all that. I mean, a lot of that, I think, was sort of pioneered by Lynn Thompson and Cold Steel. Yeah. So it makes sense for GSM to why change it if it works? But there also seems to be a real love, not just a shrewd business maneuver.
Oh yeah, and they're not just resting on their laurels. They're not just going to keep bringing back the Formax or keep bringing back the Recon. They're going forward with new designs and new ideas and stuff that's going to be really cool when it comes out. You know, people are going to be very excited about.
You can tell that you're excited about something besides just your knife, because you're like, ooh, I want to say it.
I do. I want to say it bad, but I want to be with Cold Steel tomorrow, too. So,
well, I was really excited to see, I was lurking around on their page recently and saw that they have a Chris, like the one over my shoulder, coming out as both a sword and a dagger. But in the somewhat traditional build, like they did with the Danny Nosanto commemorative bolo, which was so cool. I want all the Cold Steels, and then to be able to say, well, I don't need this one or this one or this one, and the rest I'll keep, because to say which ones I want is a ludicrous.
Definitely. Yeah.
So what kind of stuff do you do for them? What is your working relationship with Cold Steel?
Just, I just do reviews. I'm supposed to be doing some designs like the chopper. I'm not sure if I'll be designing anything this year, and just mostly videos for them and knife reviews. And so they've made it to where I'm exclusively with them for the last year and a half now. And since GSM bought SOG, I can do SOG stuff too. But yeah, just basically doing the same thing I was doing, just exclusively with the Cold Steel stuff for now.
Oh, that's cool. So what do you think of blister pack knives that you got from Walmart? What if they sucked? You'd be in a pretty awkward position. What do you do then? Luckily, their knives don't suck, but what if they did?
Oh, I'd be honest about it. They don't pay me. I'm not saying there is enough money, but they don't. I've spent the last 6 years building up trust in the community and being honest. And if you go back, in the past, I caused some stink at Cold Steel about different things that I brought up, and they weren't happy with me. But my main goal is to entertain and have fun, but also to, there's guys out there that, they work hard. They got $50. They're going to save the money. Maybe they're going to build up $400. And I want them to buy something that's worthwhile. And it ain't worth what my name, it ain't worth my reputation, and to sit there and just sell something so that, Cold Steel pay me money. I'm not going to do that. So yeah, if it had broken, if it had messed up, I would have said something. I was like, look, this is a $12 knife, took 100 wax and snapped in two.
I mean, actually, you really add a lot of value for them because, you love your product, you love their product, and you're rooting for them. But at the same time, you beat the crap out of your knives. If you don't mind me saying so, like your old tray table and all the different things that you have destroyed with your knives, you put them through the paces. And it's if something is bad, it's going to be evident in the work you do. You won't be able to cover it. So, I mean, you're a real asset to them in terms of, that kind of transparency.
Yeah, maybe that's why they got me. I mean, there's a lot of bigger channels and prettier people they could have got. And I think maybe they knew I was going to be honest. So they knew that, I've been following Cold Steel for a long, long time. And they knew, they had to have known what I've, talked about that was a negative in the past about the different things I've run into and the changes that I want to make. And like I said, I don't want somebody going out on my review, buying a $200 knife, and then finding out that, I lied or I was totally dishonest. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here for the knife community.
Well, and you just wouldn't last. I mean, no one does when their reputation is sullied, because that's all you have. I'm sure you're allowed to discuss this, but what are some of the other knives, other companies? What's exciting to you right now in the greater knife world?
Well, I don't know. I'm probably not allowed to discuss, too much, but I've seen some stuff from some of the Chinese companies, like there's some Kaisers that I've been looking at. And I know it sounds funny, and just because Cold Steel's not doing anything with it, but I like the idea that the Axis Lock is going everywhere. I'm a big fan of the Axis Lock, and I'd love to see Cold Steel do something with the Axis Lock again. I think they used to have a Recon that was Axis Lock or something similar.
Yeah, and the first Recon ones.
Yeah, I love that the Axis Lock is everywhere. You're seeing it with Kaiser, even the Walmart, the Ozark Trail. I think they came out with an Axis Lock. So
it's supposed to be pretty decent.
That's what I heard. Yeah. So that kind of stuff is kind of cool. I like seeing that stuff. I haven't really been, you know, kept my finger on pulse of anything super exciting or stuff. Rosecraft Blaze, they're having some cool stuff, some cool designs. And, you know, I like that kind of stuff. You know, being with Cold Steel exclusively, you know, it kind of handcuffs me as far as what, you know, I can review and stuff. And that, there's a trade-off. There's a trade-off. It's like getting to date the prettiest girl at the high school, but then you don't get to look at the other girls anymore. So
that's all right.
I'm excited about this date and the prom queen for me for right now.
Well, let me tell you about this other chick called Work Tough Gear. Oh my God, man. They're
okay. Woo! I saw that. What was it, the Amish John or something like that?
Yeah, there are a lot of them. I'm trying to keep track of them. Fellow YouTuber Scab sent me a couple to check out, and they're gorgeous. They're just gorgeous, and he's beating them up in his testing, so I don't have to be gentle or worry about them, and that's nice too. But these knives, they're just big, robust, very small batch production knives. I guess made in Taiwan in a smallish factory by an individual and his team, and yeah, they're drool worthy, but what I like about them is that they're kind of they remind me a little bit of a micro brew version of Cold Steel, in that they have a lot of different designs, some of them somewhat exotic in looks, but super robust, and they have that spirit of fun and exploration. Let's see what this giant recurve looks like. And Cold Steel is never afraid. I mean, the fact that they just came out with, that they're coming out with a Chris. I was just carrying my, this week I was carrying my Tylite XL Chris and my Voyager XL Chris. I've been in the Chris frame of mind the past couple of days. And the fact that they're doing, and that is not an easy blade to make or grind an edge on. I mean, so the fact that they nailed it for big time production, and you know, I have three of them, they're all perfect, and I've examined them, and the fact that they're doing it large scale with swords, I mean, that shows a spirit of adventure and excitement and like just love of the thing, because why go through all that if not?
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're not afraid. Yeah, I've seen those WTG blades, and yeah, they're like you said, they have that just monstrous feel look to them. Like, what can I do with this? What can I destroy with this? And not just exotic looking, but as far as, like, you know, just usable too. And that's kind of what I like a lot about Cold Steel.
Yes, yes.
It's like that Chris Voyager. It's bizarre looking, and you know it's going to slice something, but then I used it to cut up some meat, and it was perfect. It just worked. It was perfect as a slicing knife. And, you know, of course it's going to mangle somebody that messes with use, but it just works on so many different levels.
Now, what have you been carrying? What do you EDC these days? What have you been carrying these days?
Oh, I've been carrying this a lot. This is the, from SOG, it's a little slip joint. What is it? The, stout. Yeah, the stout. They make a flipper and they make a slip joint. Man, I love this silly little knife. It's been perfect. And also been carrying this jobber here. This is an 8010 Tanto. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you knew Nathan's knives. He made up some pink liners for me, if you can see that.
Oh, yes, yes. I've seen this on Instagram.
And so I've been carrying that. I have been carrying a Black Talon a lot. And the serrated Black Talon, I love that knife. Yeah. But the thing is, I get in these moods, and I'm getting these moods like, oh man, this guy needs a knife. What do I got? And I've probably given three or four of those away this year, just out of my pocket. So I haven't had one. I got to get me another one. But yeah, I look, if I have a Black Talon, I'll probably be carrying that most. That's my favorite.
Man, I love the Black Talon. But this week I carried one that you panned, actually. I remember when it came out, I was like, oh, what does Jimmy think of this?
Is it the Immortal? Know.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Yes.
I've kind of changed my mind. I need to do a different review on that. Yeah, I got one last year, and I meant to kind of update what my review was. I was a little bit harsh on it. Some of the things still stood, but yeah, I like that thing.
I remember what really stuck in your craw were the ergonomics, the grooves that they weren't aligning with your fingers. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. I think I have smaller hands, you know, and it fits me perfectly in the hammer.
Okay.
And so just this week, it was one that I dusted off. And just because I haven't carried it in a long time, I was like, man, this is so cool. It's like a dagger meets a tanto meets a gladius, you know, yeah. Such a cool knife. But it made me think of you. I'm like, I wonder why he, and then I remembered.
Yeah, I wasn't toying with the hammer grip as much as I was, you know, just kind of trying with the regular grip. And the way my hand was reaching was turning my fingers sideways. And if I remember right, the grooves on that Immortal are straight up and down. Yeah. But yeah, no, I got one last year and I meant to update it and I think I just forgot to. Yeah, I really like that knife. Yeah. I've changed my mind a lot, especially on the cutting edge, and it's just usable too. It's just real usable.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad I got that. That's discontinued. There's that big leaf shaped bladed one.
The Colossus.
That was discontinued, and I'm a fool. I know, like so many times, I was like, I should get that, but not today. And you know,
they showed up on. What was it, Woot? I don't know if you know about Woot.com. They have knives on there. Uh-uh. There's like crazy deals on different stuff. But one month, Woot had the Colossus on there, and they were like $89. I think I bought four of them. Just ended up giving them away. And I think I have one left. I just wish I kept three or so.
Josh, yeah. You're a very generous guy. I mean, you talk about giving the Black Talon away and those away. You gave me this just because I said I didn't have one. And you had the PIF program for a long time, which I know, man, that touched a lot of people and it got huge, and probably exhausting and cumbersome. But, tell everyone a little bit about the PIF, your PIF program.
Till early summer this year, I kind of put it on hiatus. I still ended up giving up a lot of stuff since then, just not officially under PIF. But it started February 2017 with a really, really good friend now. I did a trade with him, and he sent me a bunch of extra goodies with this knife that we traded for. And it wasn't anything like huge. It was just like stickers and little coins and I just remember having a really crappy day at that point, and then just felt so good that this guy sent me all this extra stuff, and it was just weird. I was like, man, I need to pay it forward. I need to pay this feeling forward to somebody. And so I got with him and got with the channel, and then it just started from there. It started, I think, that first year with, we averaged about 500 or 600 boxes a year for 5 years. So it's like between 2,500 and 3,000 boxes I've sent out. And it was just all the charity of the people, of people sending in the money. I mean, that's, you know, $3,000 and, $30,000 in shipping. Jeez. If you think about 3,000 boxes, yes. So that's $25,000, $30,000 in shipping. And most of this came from people, you know, just giving into Patreon or sending me cash or sending me money. And then, of course, everybody was donating stuff and 550 cord and knives and first aid kits and different things. And so, yeah, it was pretty awesome. And it may or may not be coming back this year. So I got to talk to some people.
So was it going out to people in need or just enthusiasts?
Just what I would do is I say, hey, we're having a PIF sign up. And what would happen is, of course, at the beginning, I was able to just give out to people that signed up because I didn't have that many subs. And as my channel got bigger, I kind of had to do a raffle during the year for sign up because so many people would sign up. And then for Christmas, we called it PIFmas. Everybody that signed up got a box. And so that sometimes it was, I think one year was 400 people that we sent out 400 boxes and 300 here. It was always in that range. So, yeah, it was fun. It was fun, and I got a lot of people like, you know, having the worst day of my life. My sink broke, you know, it was flooding, or my car broke down, and you know, there's boxes in my mailbox, and just kind of made me feel better. That's what it was. That's what it was all about.
That's pretty awesome. I think that's very generous, and I've met a lot of people in this knife community who have the same spirit. You know, there's a lot of generosity going around, and it's cool to hear.
Oh, yeah.
How you translated the feeling someone gave you and broadcast it, you know, to a bunch of others over 5 years. I forgot to ask when we were talking about your chopper before. Do you have it around to show? This is a visual medium after all.
Oh, I brought it out.
All right. Let's go wide. Look, first of all, I'm looking at a beautiful leather sheet, and Cold Steel needs to do more of this.
Yeah, I think so. I think on some of their higher end stuff, some leather would be nice.
Yeah, like the nice.
Yeah, because of the leather sheet and just a kind of a classic chopper look. Wow. There you go. Let me see. So right here is the Jimmy / signature on there.
Yes.
And then on the other side is the Cold Steel and the CPM3V. I think it says Taiwan.
Okay, that's beautiful. I love the very, 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 very subtle. There's like a slight curve to it, right? It's not
I had to put, well, they couldn't make it as exaggerated as I needed to be, but they had to exaggerate. I wanted it to exaggerate a little bit. So, yeah, it's got a curve on it. You know, for the average guy, you know, let's say 5'10".
Yeah,
that's a good enough curve for you. So.
Oh, I was referring to the cutting edge. Cutting edge isn't exactly straight either, is it? It's like slightly curved.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, a little bit on there.
So what HRC do they run the 3V, do you know?
I want to say it's 59, but I have to really verify that. I think it's 59 on this.
That is beautiful. I love the... I don't know if it's called a fuller on this kind of... Or not the fuller, but the swedge on top.
Yeah, the swedge, yeah.
So I assume that's cut out to aid in balance, right? You're not.
Yeah, I think it's for balance. Yeah, it's not necessarily a weight thing as much as it is like you don't want to take too much weight away from it. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have an earlier version of the chopper here, and this one is a little bit lighter than this one is. So this one is actually, I think it was 24 ounces or 23 and a half, something like that. And so, and then the newer one is 26.7 or something like that.
Nice. So this gave it a little more weight. God, those are beautiful. 10-inch blades, you said?
Yeah, 10-inch blades, 15 overall.
Oh man, I think I have my eye on my first competition chopper.
Oh yeah, it's really. I mean, just with everything else, I didn't just want something that was thrown out there, and I didn't want something to just have my name on it. That's not what I wanted. I didn't want to just go like, oh yeah, this is Jimmy / the steak knives or something. I wanted something that people were going to be happy that they bought. Otherwise, it's just going to be meaningless to them.
Well, not only that, but people can buy it knowing that whether or not they use it in competition, that it's passed your muster and it's been, you know, designed by you in collaboration with Cold Steel. So it's not a set of steak knives. It's a real, right. It's something that you basically, in a sense, built for yourself so that everyone else can experience what you find ideal in a knife like that.
Yeah. That was the whole purpose behind this was it's like, and obviously it's not going to be super cheap. I think they're going to try to get in the like 450 range, something like that. But you know, to get a custom chopper, it's going to cost you between $800 and $1,000, $1,200. And I really wanted people to be able to experience blade sports if they wanted to, and to have something out there that was fairly affordable compared to what's out there. Now, what I'm, you know, and this might just be a gateway drug for some people into getting their own custom chopper. It might be like, oh yeah, I love this one, but you know, something to help fit my hand better would be better, or something that, you know, chopped a little bit different angle would be better. And that's great. But, you know, it's for the average person just to get into it, I'd love for this to be it. And also, like you said, it's such a usable knife on every other different level too, as far as something you can take out and not worry about.
Yeah, take out back and chop wood for the family campfire.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, or there's also another kind of buyer, the knucklehead who can't stop, who likes collecting knives designed by his buddies. like that is something. I don't have a competition chopper and have no need for one, but would love to have one, or that one in particular. So, yeah, I think there will be an audience, and you know, if people balk at the price, it is a giant slab of 3V, and 3V is not only, you know, a high end and great steel, but it takes a lot to work it, because it is hard steel. So I go through a lot of time and expendable materials to work it. So all that stuff adds up.
Certainly, yeah. Yeah, basically a pound and a half of 3V steel. So I don't know if there's a full steel knife that weighs that much in 3V. So it's pretty awesome.
Well, there is now. Josh, what do you see on the horizon for the Jimmy Slash channel and for your knife designs? And what would you like to see happen over time?
I think this year, I know it sounds weird, but I haven't really, I've been outside doing stuff. I really want to do a lot more outdoor stuff. I got some different trips planned, some hunting stuff to do, some outdoorsy stuff that I haven't really got into so far on my channel. I'm going to do that this year. And as far as design and stuff, just kind of what the public clamors for, I'm trying to push them into. I don't know how much is going to happen, but a lot of people want like an XL Black Talon, stuff like that. I'm trying to talk to people about, you know, getting stuff like that. XL Black Talon, I would like to see like a 3V format. So, you know, stuff that people have asked for, stuff that people are looking for. Or bring back the Recon. I'd love to bring back the Recon XL.
Oh, if they did that, they would have a million buyers immediately.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, get five out of me for sure. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. Maybe not a million, but they would sell several between the two of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that you're thinking of bringing, you know, for your channel, bringing us along on some of your adventures. I have found that I love those kind of videos. Like, with other channels, you're one of my trusted voices, you know, like people I go to time and time again to hear about certain kinds of knives. And I love it when it's changed up every once in a while, we get a chance to see a different aspect of someone's life or someone's knife usage. So yeah, take us camping. We'll come with you.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting, because I haven't been camping in so long, so. It'll be a learning experience for me and hopefully enjoyable for the viewers. I'm excited about doing that.
Well, we know what you'll use to make your kindling.
And, oh, definitely.
It's the Jimmy Slash Chopper. Congratulations on that. And
thanks
so much for coming on the show, Josh. It's always a pleasure catching up with you, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a blast.
All right. Take care.
Don't take dull for an answer. It's the Knife Junkie's favorite sign-off phrase, and now you can get that tagline on a variety of merchandise, like a t-shirt, sweatshirt, hoodie, long-sleeve tee, and more, even on coasters, tote bags, a coffee mug, water bottle, and stickers. Let everyone know that you're a Knife Junkie, and that you don't take dull for an answer. Get yours at theknifejunkie.com/dull, and shop for all of your Knife Junkie's merchandise at theknifejunkie.com/shop.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen, Josh Belay, Jimmy Slash, one of my favorite people in YouTube knifedom, and so exciting to hear his collaboration with Cold Steel. They don't do a lot of collaborating, so it's, you know, every once in a while. So it's really cool to see that. I can't think of anyone better suited for such a thing. So great to talk with Josh. Be sure to join us next week for another great conversation, and of course, Wednesday for the Midweek Supplemental. And who could forget Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on YouTube for Thursday Night Knives. You can also catch it on Facebook and Twitch, and we'll see you here then. For Jim working his magic behind the switcher, I'm Bob DeMarco saying until next time, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.